Our next case is 11-737 in the matter of the complaint of Thomas and Daryl Wilkes versus the Ohio Edison Company.
May it please the court.
Not yet.
Sorry. We're ready.
Mr. Mancino, proceed.
Thank you. May it please the court. Brett Mancino on behalf of the Wilkes. Like this court held in Corrigan versus Illuminating Company, this case is not about an easement. The subject matter of the complaint falls squarely within the regulatory scheme and the statutory scheme of the Public Utilities Commission's mandate from the legislature. This case involves and calls for their expertise in enforcing, in interpreting and enforcing the National Electrical Safety Code.
Can I ask a question about current status? There's something in the record that the pool and shed have now been moved.
And I anticipated this question. They have.
And was the pool an above-ground pool?
The pool was an above-ground pool.
And your argument is not moot because you want to move it back?
It's not moot for two reasons. One, this issue is capable of repetition yet evading review, and it's an exception to the mootness doctrine because it is a matter of great general importance. Because this court issued the decision in the Corrigan case that dictated what would happen in a situation like this, that it's exclusive jurisdiction of the PUCO, my client has the ability and capability with regard to the swimming pool. He's complied with the court order, and that is to move it to a distance outside of the National Electrical Safety Code. He has the ability and capability, they have the ability to reconstruct this pool. It's available to him.
And you instead want them to move a transmission line instead of you moving your pool? Or you want them to move the transmission line so you can move your pool back?
That was a first part of the remedy I sought, or a declaration interpreting and enforcing the National Electrical Safety Code, stating specifically that there, and like the PUCO in their dismissal entry stated, even if there is a violation, the National Electrical Safety Code doesn't say what to do about it. And that's why 88 Common Pleas Court shouldn't be the ones interpreting the National Electrical Safety Code. Even if there's a violation, it doesn't call for removal of any structures at all, possibly. And that's what the PUCO should be able to tell.
Then don't we go to ordinary trespass law and real estate law and look at that? And the courts are perfectly capable of doing that.
They are, but this case, the case that we brought, called for the PUCO to exercise their expertise in this matter.
And they said this is a strict easement issue. We don't have to exercise any expertise. Trial courts have easement expertise, no problem. Let the trial court decide it.
Correct, but I believe it's a jurisdictional matter, and it's the matter that I think the only difference in this case is that Ohio Edison was a plaintiff in the Common Pleas Court rather than the defendants in Corrigan and DeLost. And therefore, they should be able to, the Common Pleas Court should look for direction, a statewide rule from the PUCO as to this matter, because the statute and the administrative code specifically outlines and details that electrical utility shall comply with the National Electrical Safety Code.
And the PUCO, Mr. Mancino, did the parties agree there was a violation here?
Yes, we agreed that.
Okay, so the parties stipulated to that.
Right, we didn't dispute their engineer's measurements.
All right, and then the issue is what the proper tribunal should be, either the PUCO or the Common Pleas Court.
It should the remedy and the proper tribunal.
That's what it was?
Yes.
And I guess I have the same question that Justice Stratton is posing. Who has the authority to move a transmission line?
The electrical utilities. And testimony was...
Does a Common Pleas Court have the authority to order that?
Well, I would say no. I would say the Public Utilities Commission has jurisdiction exclusively over that issue. And although it was raised in the common pleas case because I felt that it needed to be raised as a counterclaim, we still felt, especially after the Corrigan decision was issued, that this matter falls exclusively within the jurisdiction of the PUCO to deal with electrical utilities and their expertise, the technicians that are involved in this on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you.
Thank you. This issue...
What's the remedy? Back to the mootness issue. What's the remedy here? I don't see this as something likely to arise. What is it you're asking us to do?
We're asking this court to rule that the Common Pleas Court decision was issued in error and issued without jurisdiction. The Seventh District Court of Appeals recognized on their own with regard to the state court appeal that there's a jurisdictional issue here.
But your clients don't own the property anymore.
No, they own the property. They still live there. The pool itself was an above-ground pool that was an extension of their deck. It had been there for 15 years before any issue had ever been raised. The easement at issue, if we get into the easement, is nothing more than a limited right-to-use easement regarding air and space. It allows Ohio Edison to put up the lines. It allows Ohio Edison to run electricity across the lines. It allows Ohio Edison to service and maintain these lines. And nobody's ever disputed that they've been allowed to do that. My clients even built them a special gate so they could access these lines on an easy basis. And there's never been a disruption of electricity. And what also invokes the PUCO's jurisdiction here is that, and if you read the engineer's affidavit and testimony that was taken in common police court, their violation is based upon a hypothetical operating maximum operating temperature of 212 degrees. Through testimony at the Common Pleas Court, they never operate their line at 212 degrees. And therefore, that nuance, I think, is better understood by the PUCO rather than a Common Pleas Court, because you have a decision out of Mahoning County, and they try to enforce this in Trumbull County or Lake County, that could come up with a completely different result.
Well, if we agreed with you and say, okay, we'll have the PUCO hear this case, what are they going to hear? You've already moved the pool and the shed.
We want to have the.
What would the PUCO do if we sent this to them?
If you sent this,
they'd have a case where there's nobody arguing anything because there's no one out of compliance.
Well, I would arguably we were stuck with two bad choices.
Pardon me, please?
We were stuck with a bad choice in the Common Pleas Court. Because
sticking us with a bad choice here is what I'm trying to point out to you. And we're trying to write a resolution of cases for all similarly situated persons. And I guess if you want us to send a case to the PUCO that doesn't have any issue in it, why would we do that?
The issue is... It could be a statewide issue. We anticipate the electrical utilities, Ohio Edison, bringing these plaintiffs' causes of action to move these structures on down the road and have similarly situated clients such as mine that need a remedy and that the remedy should be provided for in the PUCO.
Well, counsel, you've already stipulated that this is a violation of the regulations, correct? So
yes.
There's no further need to identify that.
Right.
And... you've moved the pool and
for
the
now,
shed.
Yes.
Okay. And I guess, you know, where the lines are situated and the transformers, et cetera, would be under the jurisdiction of the PUCO, arguably. But are you really asking that they move those items in order to accommodate one person's swimming pool?
Practically speaking, no. But we're definitely seeking a declaration from the PUCO to interpret a violation of the National Electrical Safety Code, something that Common Pleas Court...
What do you mean to interpret the violation?
All right. In this
agreed
case,
that there's a violation.
Right, to interpret the remedy for the violation, as recognized by the PUCO.
All right, what are the remedies possible in this situation?
There's three possible remedies. Either the lines get moved, the structures get moved, or they stay the same as they have been for the past 15 years.
Okay. Well, so far the structures are moved, the lines are still there, and the status quo has not been maintained.
My clients can reconstruct that swimming pool. The reason the pool was moved was because we were mandated by the Common Pleas Court. We were denied a stay by the Common Pleas Court. We were denied a stay by the Seventh District Court of Appeals. So rather than my client risk the penalties of violating the court order, they were moved pending the outcome of this case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and he's, if they will be fully within their rights to reconstruct that pool. They'll be fully within their
so
rights.
So you want the PUCO to hear this, and you want the PUCO to say that these standards of which you are in violation are change the standards or change the give you a variance to allow you to exist in noncompliance.
Either
can,
one
can
of
the
those
PUCO do that?
I believe they can because the electrical utilities pursuant to the administrative code are required to file on an annual basis their compliance and report any unplanned outages in the previous year, any effect that these structures may have on their utility lines. And there's been no evidence that these structures had any effect on the utility lines. And I think the PUCO can take that under consideration, use their expertise, and determine that, okay, the National Electrical Safety Code, based on your measurements, they're technically in violation, but it doesn't require the utility to do anything, and it doesn't require the homeowner to do anything.
The PUCO has that capacity to issue variances such as that.
Yes, and if you, although the administrative code says that they shall comply, when you read the preamble, and I've cited it, when you read the preamble to the National Electrical Safety Code, it states specifically that compliance with our tables are not mandatory anyways. And I think the PUCO would have that jurisdiction to interpret that preamble with regard to the National Electrical Safety Code. Standards that change on a, I think, on a four-year basis. They update and they, you know, it's a moving target.
Do you know if the PUCO is in the business of actually granting individual variances for individual property owners such as this?
This, I believe this is a, this appears to be a case of first impression. Even when you do a nationwide research of the National Electrical Safety Code, it doesn't fall within these similar facts.
So our, the Ohio PCO is not in the business or in the habit of hearing cases such as your client's case to assess whether or not a variance should be issued for your particular situation?
No, I don't know. I don't know that they've been asked. I don't think they've been confronted with an issue like this where there's been an affirmative claim by a homeowner after the Corrigan decision to ask them for this remedy. Well, they've concluded they don't have jurisdiction.
And you refer to the Corrigan decision. That was the case where we said whether the removal of a tree by the utility was reasonable in accordance with the vegetation policy of the utility and all of the regulations that they had to follow. We said that was within the exclusive jurisdiction of the PUCO, correct?
Correct.
But that's a bit different from what you're suggesting here.
Well, I think what I'm asking for this court to instruct the PUCO that if it involves the National Electrical Safety Code, since it comes within the ambit of their Ohio Administrative Code, that they have to take jurisdiction and interpret a violation and how to remedy it on behalf of the utility or homeowners that may be affected by the service issue.
You're saying anytime the National Safety Code is at issue, it's an exclusive PUCO case?
Yes. Yes. And I'm just looking at, you know, the decision in the, you know, the Corrigan case, the citation to that subsection or that section is, I think, is evident. I would reserve the.
Mr. Mancino, before you sit down, that issue seems to have been addressed in paragraph 19 of the decision from the commissioners of the Public Utilities Commission, and they indicated that with respect to the transmission line, the 69 KV line violates the NESC. The parties merely dispute the remedy that should be applied to bring about compliance.
Correct.
And they say that the Wilkes advocate moving the line, and Ohio Edison urges the removal of the structures. Both parties acknowledge there's a violation, and the removal of the structures pursuant to Ohio Edison's easement rights would resolve the NESC violation. And then they conclude that they have no special expertise with respect to easements, and so they dismiss this case.
They don't have expertise with regard to easements, but with regard to the National Electrical Safety Code, they absolutely do. They're charged under the,
well,
with interpreting.
I guess what I'm trying to say is they've considered the issue and made a decision that they simply don't have the authority, and they've exercised their judgment to dismiss the complaint.
Well, I would argue it also contained within their dismissal entries an equivocal holding there that they say we don't have jurisdiction, but if the Common Pleas Court reverses, then we have jurisdiction. So they're not, I think, they're not making an absolute statement there.
Thank you. Mr. Lindgren?
Thank you. May it please the court, my name is Thomas Lindgren, and I am appearing on behalf of the Appellee, the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. I would like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for Mr. Cudyk, counsel for Ohio Edison. Your Honors, despite what Mr. Mancino just said, this case is in reality a dispute over competing property rights. The Public Utilities Commission is not the proper forum to resolve this dispute. This dispute belongs in a court of common pleas.
Well, counsel, let me ask you some of the questions that I asked the opposing counsel, and that's about the remedy here. There's an agreement between the parties that this is a violation, the pool and the deck and the shed, that was a violation. So now the question becomes the remedy and whether or not a variance could be granted to the property owner to allow for the reconstruction of the deck, the pool, and then the repositioning of the shed, with the utility lines intact as they are presently. Does the PUCO ordinarily involve itself in those type of determinations for remedies such as that?
No, Your Honor, I've never seen such a case at the PUCO, and I would submit that they don't have the authority to rewrite the National Electric Safety Code or grant variances.
Well, do they not rewrite it, but do they have the authority to grant variances?
I don't believe they do, Your Honor, and I have never seen them exercise that authority. They have the authority to require utilities to comply with that code, and that's exactly what they've done here. But I don't
well,
think
the utility is going to comply. I mean, I don't think the utility has any problem with it, you know, meeting the standards and applying them there. And obviously the property owner, in an attempt not to be in contempt of court, moved their structures. But they do have the ability to reposition the line. The PUCO would have the expertise and the ability to have Ohio Edison remove the lines or reposition the lines, or is that true?
Well, actually, Your Honor, I believe that would have to be approved by the Power Siting Board, which is a separate body, and they would have to review the plans for moving the line. And
so the PUCO in and of itself could not just, with a proclamation, say, Ohio Edison, would you just remove those lines, bury those lines, do something else so they're not interfering with the structures?
No, I don't believe they could. There would have to be a separate application to the Power Siting Board that would have to be approved in order to relocate this line.
If this issue of remedy goes to the Common Pleas Court as a property dispute, does the Common Pleas Court have the right to order Ohio Edison to move their lines?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe they would. That issue would be exclusively before.
So what can the Common Pleas Court determine? What is the extent of its authority if it goes to them?
The extent of their authority is to interpret and apply Ohio law, including the law of easements, and that's exactly what the court in Mahoning County did. They looked at the terms of the easement, determined that the Wilkes were in violation of that easement. They had encroached on the easement, and they ordered.
Hey, let's say that they made the opposite determination. They determined that Ohio Edison didn't have that easement. What was the Common Pleas Court able to say then? Just a declaration that Ohio Edison didn't, and then the case has to go back to the Ohio Edison and the Power PUCO and the Power Siting Board to determine how to move the lines.
Your Honor, there might be several options for the utility to take to bring itself into compliance with the code. They could.
But does the Common Pleas Court have the power to order that?
No, Your Honor. I believe their jurisdiction it was over the terms of the easement and whether the property owners were in violation of that easement.
So the only thing that the trial court could decide was whether the property owner was in violation? It had no power to decide if Ohio Edison was in violation?
Well, Your Honor, I don't really feel that, I'm in a position to speak to the power of the trial judge here, but I am aware that, property law issues belong in courts of common pleas, and that's what this case really was, a property rights
issue. But you're saying they can only decide half the issue if it goes to them, because they don't have any authority over the power lines or the Ohio Edison, so they can tell the property owner what to do or not to do. But if they find that the power line is in violation, what's their authority?
Well, Your Honor, I think they had the whole issue before them. There's no real issue over the application of the safety code. As Mr. Mancino conceded, his clients agree that their structures were placed within the easement and that the National Electric Safety Code was violated. There's no other issue here for the commission to decide.
The easement is not in dispute, whether or not there's an easement in existence.
No, there is not.
So they didn't have to worry about whether Ohio Edison was in violation of an easement or the prescriptions within this easement because it was agreed upon. My question is that for 15 years, apparently, if the information is correct in the briefs, that the Ohio Edison would come out and see this structures for 15 years and not do anything about it, and then all of a sudden it became a problem. Is that accurate?
Your Honor, I believe it, 15 years did pass. I cannot speak to as to why this problem was not detected earlier. Maybe just because it was in...
Was there a change in the electrical regulations that all of a sudden made this a problem, or was this always in violation?
I don't believe that there was a material change in the regulations. I will say that in recent years, all the electric utilities in Ohio have stepped up their inspections of their transmission lines. In part, this resulted from the blackout back in 2004 that you might recall, and the commission has pushed utilities
to... I do recall being stuck in Florida during that, yes.
The commission has pushed utilities to do a better job of inspecting their lines, and possibly that was what prompted this inspection. But in any case, they did find the violation, and as soon as they found it, they asked the property owners to move these structures. They refused, so Ohio Edison did what they needed to do and went to court to request an order to have these structures moved, and the court did grant that order. And I believe that resolved all the material issues in this case. There was nothing left for the commission here to decide. I would remind the court that it adopted a two-part test in the Allstate case. That test has two parts, whether the commission's administrative expertise is necessary and whether the practice complained about is a regular utility practice.
Well, that seems to be what Mr. Mancino wants us to consider. If I understand his argument, it is that because these are power lines, the Common Pleas Court really has no jurisdiction over them, and the tribunal that would have authority to order them moved would be the Public Utilities Commission or its Power Siting Board. And so his argument is, I'm sort of stuck between two tribunals. If I want relief in connection with moving a transmission line, I have to be before the Public Utilities Commission. And when I go to the Public Utilities Commission, they say, we don't have any expertise in connection with an easement, and since you have an easement problem, go to Common Pleas Court. So isn't it true that the Public Utilities Commission could look at this and could order those transmission lines moved?
Well, Your Honor, if there were a genuine dispute over whether the code was being complied with, I think that is technically possible. I would submit that it would certainly be unreasonable to ask a utility or its ratepayers to bear the expense of moving a transmission line. I could only speculate the cost of doing that, but I'm sure it would be well into the six or seven figures to do that, as opposed to, the burden on a landowner of moving an above-ground pool. But beyond that, there was no genuine dispute here that the code was being violated. The only issue was over the proper remedy. And that remedy has already been decided by a court of law.
Well, I guess the utility claims that since it owns the easement and has the right, if it's being interfered with, then someone's got to make a determination to permit the easement to be maintained. So it was the other. Do you think Corrigan has any application of this case?
No, I don't think so, Your Honor. That case involved tree trimming or removal, and that was pursuant to a regular vegetation management plan that's on file with the commission. You can drive down any residential street and see trees near power lines, so they need a regular plan to deal with that. But there's no regular plan for removing
wasn't
structures.
That within a prescriptive easement that was granted to the utility, however? Wasn't it another easement case?
Yes, it was. But again, there were some...
In this instance, when there are structures involved, that's okay for the PUCO, but if it's vegetation, that's the court. I mean, I'm trying to draw the line.
The other way around, where there's a vegetation management plan that needs to be applied or interpreted, that was properly considered by the PUCO. But here it was really a property rights dispute, whose rights to triumph.
Which goes into court, your view.
Yes.
Okay.
Counsel, I'm having a hard time getting that. You said the two-part test is the expertise and then whether it's part of a regular plan of operation. Right?
Yes.
And why wouldn't it be reasonable for us to assume that the reason 15 years went by was exactly what you were talking about, is they now are doing a greater degree of surveillance of their lines, and some places it is exhibited in the form of clear cutting, and here they're clear cutting the person's deck and pool. It's the same thing, it's just a different... Instead of growing out of the ground, it's something that his client planted. I don't understand the difference between this and the Corrigan case at all.
Well, Your Honor, speaking to the first part of the test, I'd say there's no administrative expertise required here. Everyone agrees that there was a violation of the code. In fact, they relied on Ohio Edison's expert to support the violation of the code.
Yeah, but they found it because they were going out there looking for trees, and they found his deck and pool.
Yes, that was what they found.
So they wanted to get a chainsaw out and cut it down, just like they would a tree.
Well, Your Honor, I would submit the utilities don't have a unilateral right to go out and remove structures from a homeowner's property. They had to go to a court of law to seek an order to do that.
Well, that's because he sent a letter to the utility saying we're going to call the cops if you come out here and chainsaw the pool and deck.
That may be, but in any case, this wasn't part of a regular utility maintenance plan of removal. This was a dispute over property rights, whose rights are... what should triumph, whether Ohio Edison's easement triumphs or the property owner's right to enjoy their property. Thank you. The decision should be affirmed.
Mr. Kudyk, you have about a minute and a half.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I think the application of Allstate, to paraphrase a question Justice O'Donnell posed, is what is the PUCO supposed to be doing? Appellants have had about seven opportunities, I think, with the briefs below, the briefs here, the oral argument today, to say what they're supposed to do. And we've heard two things. One is to apply some expertise in interpreting the National Electric Safety Code. Well, the fact of the matter is there is nothing to interpret. There is no dispute as to the fact there's a violation, how it should apply to the facts of this case. The only thing, and there's also no dispute, that the National Electric Safety Code, nor any other rule of the Commission, deals with the issue of what to do when a residential property owner places structures near a pre-existing power line that then spurs a violation of the NESC. We believe that there is something that controls what happens in that circumstance, and that's the easement. And that's why Ohio Edison went to court.
Why wouldn't that be the case in Corrigan? Well, somebody planted a tree, or God put it there, one or the other.
This case is actually 180 degrees from Corrigan, and this is why. In Corrigan, there was absolutely no dispute as to the party's respective rights under the easement, and this court specifically said that in its opinion. What the plaintiffs there were challenging was a specific practice that had been reviewed and approved by the commission. So there was nothing in Corrigan for the court to do, and there was something for the PUCO to do, the exact reverse of this case.
I don't get it. And here's what I think the difference is. When you wanted to go out and take this out, they said, we're going to call the cops. It's cheaper and quicker to go to the Common Pleas Court and get it resolved than it is to go to the PUCO. You'd be waiting a year or two to get an answer there.
No, the reason they went to the Common Pleas Court is the Common Pleas Court had the jurisdiction to decide the property issue. The property issue here is, does the company have an easement which says that they have the right to clear and keep clear the property from obstructions? The company contended in the court that something that violates the National Electric Safety Code is an obstruction that they are allowed to clear. So this case, again,
and
is...
And that difference from a tree in what respect?
Difference, but, well, with respect to a tree, the issue, for example, in Corrigan and DeLost was, do we cut the tree? Do we remove the tree? And that was controlled by the vegetation management plan that was reviewed and approved by the commission. So the plaintiff in that case was saying, no,
but
you shouldn't follow
cases,
that plan. You should
cases,
follow what we think you should do.
Both cases, there's no dispute about it. The tree or the pool and deck being inside the easement. Right?
That's true. But in this case, there's a dispute as to, was there a waiver? Was there latches? Is this an obstruction? All those issues were issues that were litigated in Ohio Edison's favor in the Common Pleas Court, and now it's on appeal. So those issues were properly before the court. There was no issue before the PUCO. And so for that reason, the PUCO properly determined that the case did not belong there and the court should have
found it. If we had a storage barn involved in this case, would it be your position that your client would have the right to remove that storage barn?
Yes.
Because it's in the easement?
Yes. The easement specifically says...
How would that be accomplished? I mean, I understand we can simply cut trees and then haul them away or trim them or chop them up or whatever we do. How would you effectuate the removal of, you know, a storage barn with, say, maybe a tractor in it or some lawnmower equipment or whatever?
Sure. If one assumes in the first instance, which I think you are, that the utility has the property right to clear and keep clear the easement from any obstruction.
Yeah, that's presumed in the question I posed to you. But
then
I do see a distinct difference between a structure with personal property in it and a tree.
Sure.
Not the trees, it wouldn't be valuable, but the fact is they can be.
Yeah, I mean, the procedure, as I understand it for the company, is that the first thing they do, like they did here, is say, property owner, we have a problem. Would you move your facilities? And then if that's not going to happen, then it's either trying to resolve it somehow or, if necessary, go to court. I mean, the last thing I think Ohio Edison wants to do is resort to, quote, self-help and then subject itself to potential claims of property damage and so forth. So it's always better to do the legally right thing to make sure they're in their rights before they affect someone else's property. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mancino. You have a minute left.
I'd just like to point out to the court that the genesis for Ohio Edison's actions in this case came based upon their own internal policy that they want to comply with the National Electrical Safety Code, a policy that's required to be filed with the PUCO on an annual basis. That's the genesis for them.
Isn't that a valid?
Pardon?
Valid activity on behalf of Ohio Edison that they are complying with the National Electrical Safety Code?
I agree 100%. But that's why I think the PUCO has the exclusive jurisdiction to determine how and What is the effect, if any, of an NESC violation? What remedy, if any? Again, do the lines get moved? Do the structures get moved? Or, based upon this empirical evidence of 15 years, my client's children growing up in this pool, that nothing's ever happened, that you keep it status quo? That's why.
Does the PUCO have the power, the legal authority, to tell you to move the shed?
No, I don't believe they do. But like,
so what's the value of going to the PUCO if they don't have that authority? What's their power? What's their ability to have a remedy?
They potentially to go to the House Supreme Court, but there's competing jurisdiction here, and I believe.
Wait, no. You're telling me that
you're already here.
Pardon?
If you go to the PUCO,
you're already here. What more do you want?
I misunderstood the question.
If you go to the PUCO instead of to the Common Pleas Court, you're saying the PUCO would not have the power to tell you to move anything. So what's the purpose of going to the PUCO?
To order one of two things: to order the electric utility to come into compliance with the National Electrical Safety Code. That's the only way. And then how do they come into compliance with the National Electrical Safety Code?
What if they decide that's not right?
Pardon?
If they decide they're in compliance, you need to move the shed. But you're just saying they don't have that authority to tell you to move the sheds, so why go there?
Well, because
or do
we,
they have to say, you're in violation of the easement, now, Howardson, you have to go back to Common Pleas and now get an order from Common Pleas to tell them to move the shed because we've determined the shed has to be moved.
But I think the Common Pleas Court needs some instruction here, is that can you determine an obstruction, a hypothetical obstruction based upon a violation of the National Electrical Safety Code? That should be determined by the PUCO.
Or they can just look at easement law and say, this is their easement, you're violating it.
They can't. But they can't look at, you can't look, I mean, if you look at the easement, it's S21 to their appendix of Ohio Edison. The easement itself, the only, if reliable service is affected, potentially affected, the only right they have to remove structures is to cut trees. And the first clause is separate from that second clause. The obstruction clause has only to do with their ability to come into that property. One is a farm back many years ago, to put up their lines, to run electricity across, and to be able to have access to keep servicing those lines. And that's not in dispute. They've been doing that. Thank you.
Thank you. The matter will be taken under advisement, and you will be notified of our decision. Thank you, gentlemen. Marshall, will you adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.